From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Stephanie Mosqueda. It's Monday, November 18th. Coming up, we'll learn more about former Sangamon County Deputy Sean Grayson's history of problematic behavior and a missed opportunity to intervene. That story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Officials in Urbana are considering a plan to expand access to healthy and affordable food in the northwest part of the city. Ward 3 in the city is considered a food desert. That means the neighborhood lacks a nearby grocery store where residents can get fresh produce. Angela Bradley is trying to change that through the Illinois Grocery Initiative. It's a program that reduces the cost to open a new grocery store.
The state might be willing to give us $2.4 million to get us most of the way to actually getting the store in place, that it's urgent for us to even try.
Any applicant to the program would have to pay the remaining costs. Bradley hopes the Urbana City Council will vote tonight to cover those expenses and make it easier to open a new grocery store. Losing a child can be heart-wrenching for parents. IPM Student Newsroom's Diana Chung has a look at local resources for families facing unspeakable loss.
Rachel Campbell is a perinatal grief and bereavement liaison at Carr Foundation Hospital in Urbana. She provides support for parents who experience a pregnancy loss, stillbirth, or infant death. She says it can be meaningful for parents to spend time with their babies after they've died.
People don't realize they get to hold and bathe and dress their baby and take pictures and do footprints. Even when baby's pretty small, we can still accomplish a lot of those things. And we just don't see people do that.
Campbell organizes the annual Shining Light Memorial Service that has been hosted by Carl every October since 2014. This year's event took place last month. Around 130 people attended in person and online. I'm Diana Zhang, IPM News.
University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign Chancellor Robert Jones will be stepping down next spring after 9 years in the position. As IPM's Jim Meadows reports, his farming background led him to work closely with one academic unit in particular, the Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, or the College of ACES.
Before he was a college administrator, Chancellor Jones was a crop scientist. He conducted research for several years at the University of Minnesota. At the U of I College of ACES, Crop Sciences Department Head Adam Davis says Jones studied how plants get and process their nutrition.
And in particular, Robert Jones was an early pioneer in studying the impacts of global change, corn kernel development, both how it gets starch and protein. So looking at the impacts of heat and drought on kernel development.
Other colleagues of Jones say the chancellor helped bring the U of I closer together. College of ACES Associate Dean Rodney Johnson says Jones guided partnerships between his department and others at the university, supporting research in biomanufacturing and artificial intelligence in agriculture.
He was just a dynamic leader with unquestioned integrity, and it really showed, and he was really a highly respected leader of our campus, and everybody around the world knew that.
Johnson says because of Jones's accomplishments, the job of chancellor at UIUC will be an attractive one for whoever becomes his successor. I'm Jim Meadows, IPM News.
Illinois football had their senior day game Saturday, defeating Michigan State 38-16. As IPM student reporter Jacob Stutz tells us, with the win came a lot of reminiscing from student athletes.
Senior Day brings a lot of emotions for seniors, especially for those who've had a big impact, including Pat Bryant, who's expected to be an early NFL draft pick. He started his final home game, catching a 57-yard touchdown catch to give the Illini a 7-0 lead in the opening minutes. After the game, Bryant said what he will cherish most about his 4 years as an Illini.
I'll just say just my development, you know, from my freshman year to my senior year, and just becoming a leader, you know, just soaking everything again, and just everything went how I thought it would go.
All of the seniors will still get two more games as the Illini on the road, with a matchup next week against Rutgers. Then the Fighting Illini will take on in-state rival Northwestern at Wrigley Field. Jacob Stutz, IPM News.
Still to come, We'll learn more about former Sangamon County Deputies Sean Grayson's history of problematic behavior and a missed opportunity to intervene. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Next time on The 21st Show, Democrats are still debating why they lost to Donald Trump and Republicans in this year's election and what they should do to regain power. We'll talk about that with former Illinois Congresswoman Sherry Bustos, one of the relatively small number of Democrats to win a district that also went for Trump. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Stephanie Mosqueda. The death of Sonia Massey in July prompted nationwide outrage. Sangamon County Sheriff's Deputy Sean Grayson shot and killed Massey, an unarmed Black woman, in her home after she called for help. Grayson's history of problematic behavior has since come to light. For IPM News and Invisible Institute, Farah Anderson has the story of one woman who tried to sound the alarm but wasn't taken seriously. A note to listeners, this 5-minute story includes some descriptions that may not be suitable for young audiences.
Chelsea Lowe's life turned upside down after her arrest by Sean Grayson. At the time, 2 years ago, she was a single mother battling addiction and in an abusive relationship with her now ex-boyfriend. On the night of October 3, 2022, Chelsea was traveling in a car from Champaign to Lincoln to purchase a large quantity of methamphetamines, which she says was to stock up. When they stopped for gas, Chelsea says she saw Deputy Grayson watching them from a squad car.
I tell the people I'm with, like, look, we should not leave. If we leave, that cop is going to pull us over. I already knew it.
They drove off, and Grayson pulled them over. In his report, he says the driver didn't use a turn signal. Chelsea disputes this. In a panic, Chelsea says she took all the drugs in the car and inserted them inside her vagina to hide them. At the jail, Chelsea says Grayson ordered her to remove the drugs from herself in front of him and another male officer. IPM and Invisible Institute requested the video for independent review, but the sheriff's office said that none existed. Chelsea says a female officer came out and stopped her.
Because he was in uniform, if I didn't do what he wanted me to do, he was going to make everything that much worse for me, and he has.
Chelsea was taken to a nearby hospital. She was laying in the hospital bed, her legs in stirrups, waiting for the doctor to come and remove the drugs when...
Next thing I know, the curtain flies back, and there's Officer Grayson and, like, two other male cops. Immediately, the doctor grabbed the curtain, because he saw me. He saw, and that other cop, they saw my vagina, like, everybody saw, and I'm crying, I'm upset. And so they pulled the curtain back, and he says, I will let you know when I'm finished, do not do that again.
The hospital did not respond to request for comment. While in jail, Chelsea submitted a complaint, accusing Grayson of acting inappropriately during her arrest. Records show her complaint was deemed unfounded, but she was never interviewed, nor given any information about how her complaint was investigated. We now know this wasn't an isolated incident. Supervisors noted a history of problematic policing with Grayson, including faking evidence and arrests and initiating a high-speed chase that reached speeds of over 100 miles per hour. Before becoming an officer, he'd been discharged from the military for, quote, serious misconduct. If the Logan County Sheriff's Office had taken action, Chelsea believes they could have prevented Grayson from moving on to Sangamon County, where he ultimately shot and killed Sonia Massey.
It's like incident after incident after incident with this cop, and they didn't do nothing. They did nothing.
Legal experts we spoke with agree that this was one of many missed opportunities to intervene with Grayson. Here's attorney Lauren Jones with Impact for Equity, a nonprofit law firm in Chicago.
These departments that Grayson was employed by ended up being more concerned about protecting their own reputation and the reputation of the officers than ensuring the safety of the citizens they're sworn to protect.
Jones also noted that the sheriff's office could have reported Grayson's credibility issues to state authorities, but didn't. Chelsea was convicted of unlawful possession and intent to deliver methamphetamines, both Class X felonies. She spent several months in jail, lost custody of her son, and was preparing herself for a prison sentence of up to 20 years. But then, in August, a judge decided to drop her case, post-conviction, which is extremely unusual. And we don't know why it happened. neither the defense nor the Logan County State's Attorney would tell us. But Chief Public Defender in Champaign County, Elizabeth Pollock, speculates that after Sonia Massey's death, the state started looking at cases Grayson was involved in.
My guess is that when the state is going back and reviewing all of the files that this deputy was involved in, that they're picking through his actions with a fine-tooth comb. So my thought is that they feared that on appeal or in some future proceeding, this incident would be brought up, which may cause a reversal of the conviction anyway.
The day her case was dropped, Chelsea stood up to leave the courtroom, and the judge told her to take advantage of this second chance. But her life is still not back to what it was. She's living with her mom, seeing her son several times a week. She wants to get a job in her own place, but the felony conviction still on her record has made all that impossible.
For 2 years, I thought I was going to prison. So my work was affected. My emotional state was affected. My time with my child was affected. I lost everything. I lost my house. Everything. Everything I had was gone. It's all gone.
For now, she says she's focused on rebuilding her life and her relationship with her son. I'm Farrah Anderson, reporting for IPM News and Invisible Institute.
This story was co-reported by Sam Stecklow. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by May Antar, Diana Chung, Jim Meadows, Jacob Stutz, Farrah Anderson, and Sam Secklow. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Stephanie Mosqueda. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.